This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
We're recording the symposium so that it will be available on our website in a couple of weeks for you to hear again if there are parts of it that you particularly liked, or for you to tell your friends about. And when it comes to the question and answer sessions, which I know will be terrifically dynamic, there will be a microphone going round, and we need you to use the microphone because we're recording the whole symposium. Just a sad note, we had developed this symposium with John Harms, who might be known to you as a very prolific sports historian and journalist, and who's been director of Manning Clark House here in Canberra now for a year or so, but unfortunately family circumstances meant he couldn't be here today. So we've been very lucky to have Professor James Warden, who's director of the Donald Horne Centre for Cultural Heritage at the University of Canberra, step in and chair one of the sessions that John was going to do for us this afternoon. So now I think that's really all I need to do, except introduce Brian Martin, who is going to be our MC for the day. Aren't we lucky? Now, I think you all know that he's renowned for his efforts with the exacting art of race calling, having been a familiar voice to Australians for some 36 years, I think, having worked with Bill Collins at 3DB and Melbourne radio station 3UZ. Although he's described some 20 Melbourne Cups, he doubtless remembers best as a co-owner the wins of Fields of Omar in the Cox Plate. Brian has been director of the Australian Racing Museum and of the Thoroughbred Retirement Farm Living Legends, and in 2000 was a recipient of the Federal Government's Australian Sports Medal. He is chairman of the Australian Racing Hall of Fame, and we are delighted that he's agreed to be the MC of today's symposium. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much, Louise. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rod Fitzroy, VRC Chairman, Andrew Sayers, Director of the National Museum of Australia, and distinguished guests, a big welcome here this morning. It's only fitting that we're gathered here in this space, renowned for its cultural significance, to discuss our key topic today, and that, of course, is the Melbourne Cup. And there is no disputing the Melbourne Cup is a cultural icon. I've been involved in racing basically all my life as a broadcaster for some 35 years, having called the Cup 20 times. But I tasted a little success on Melbourne Cup Day back in 2001 when our horse Fields of Omar took out the Hong Kong Plate, which was the race that followed Ethereal. So that's the closest I've been to a Melbourne Cup. Our horse actually followed Ethereal's hoofprints out wide on the track on that day on a soft track, and followed the path of the great mare Ethereal. One can only... pretty hard to imagine what it would be like to own a Melbourne Cup winner, but we've had 149 Melbourne Cups go by, and what a momentous time it is for us in racing, but for all Australians to be celebrating the 150th Melbourne Cup. The Cup has emerged from a low-key event to one which is now Australia's most esteemed and internationally recognised sporting event. The first Melbourne Cup was run in 1861 and was attended by 4,000 racegoers. Within 20 years, 100,000 people attended the event, which is remarkable given the population of Victoria at the time. The first 14 Melbourne Cups were run on a Thursday, but it was changed in 1875 and the race was run on the first Tuesday of November, and a tradition that remains right up until this day. And significantly, this iconic event holds the richest prize in any sport here in Australia, with prize money at a staggering $6.175 million. And there's no denying the significance of the Melbourne Cup in Australian history and its culture, from Farlap through to Mackay Bediva and the 1-2-3 Melbourne Cups to Bart Cummings. And think about Bart Cummings. On the 14th of November, just probably 10 days after the Melbourne Cup this year, he celebrates his 83rd birthday. Here is a man at 83, approaching 83, at the top of his game. And it was in 1950 that he strapped his father's horse, Comic Court. So it's 60 years ago this year that Bart Cummings sort of first came into prominence, and he's won 12 Melbourne Cups. It's wonderful to be a part of this generation, this lifetime that we see Bart Cummings coming through. It's a fabulous race. It's a great celebration. And to tell us more about what constitutes the heart of racing, it is indeed my pleasure to welcome Matt Trinker to the microphone. Matt is the Assistant Director of Collections, Content and Exhibitions Division of the National Museum of Australia, and he'll be chairing this first part of our symposium, the first session. So, ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome Mr. Matt Trinker.
Thanks, Brian, for that very kind introduction, and welcome to all of you for this first session of what I think will promise to be a fascinating day's discussion about the long and glorious history of the Melbourne Cup. I'm especially delighted to be chairing this session, the Melbourne Cup and why it is important, because of the museum's own strong interest and continuing scholarship in this area. I should tell you that in one of the new permanent galleries of the museum that will open next year, Flemington and the Melbourne Cup, and indeed Farlap's Heart, which is a real treasure of this museum's collection, will feature. I'm also delighted because I'm looking forward very much to hearing what our speakers have to say about this iconic Australian event. And our first speaker today is Andrew Sayers, the Director of the National Museum of Australia. Andrew was formerly Director of the National Portrait Gallery and Assistant Director of Collections at the National Gallery of Australia. He's a highly regarded scholar and curator of Australian art and history. Can I please ask you to welcome to the podium Mr. Andrew Sayers, who will be speaking on the heart of Australian racing, the Melbourne Cup. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. I'd like to welcome you all here to today's symposium, and I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land here, the Ngunnawal and the Ngambri people. As Matt mentioned, I was previously, until just a few weeks ago, director of the National Portrait Gallery, and a lot of people asked me when I came across to the National Museum what the difference was between an art museum and a museum of social history, such as the National Museum. And, well, I guess in my second week I was quite graphically introduced to the difference when I had to front the press to indicate the reasons why we were not able to lend the heart of Farlap from this collection to the Farlap reassembly in Melbourne for the 150th anniversary. Te Papa, the National Museum of New Zealand, had agreed to lend the skeleton, and we looked as though we were holding out in not lending the heart. In fact, Rob Hulls, I think, went into the press and said, "Have a heart, Canberra. lend it. Please lend it." But unfortunately, that 6.3 kilos of horse heart muscle is in a staggeringly fragile condition, and I was able to inspect it up close in its bath of preserving solution, and you can see how the tissue is actually starting to fall apart in front of your very eyes. So unfortunate, but the heart of Farlap will never be able to leave the National Museum with the current state of scientific technology. Of course, there may be something in the future which allows us to get over those particular problems. But, of course, the heart of Farlap is an object around which an extraordinary number of stories can be woven, and in a sense it carries a tremendous amount of weight. And that really is, I think, the difference between what art galleries do and what museums do. The objects enable us to tell stories. So I think this symposium is called The Heart of Australian Racing as a kind of acknowledgement of that iconic object in our collection. I have been here at the National Museum now for, well, less than 10 weeks. But already I can see very clearly a role for the National Museum, and today's symposium is one dimension of what I think is a key and an important role for a National Museum, and that is to connect history with contemporary Australia. Virtually everything that happens in contemporary Australia has a history. Now, with an institution such as the Melbourne Cup, it's very clear to see the way in which that history has created the institution which it is today. It's not always clear, it seems to me, that when we look at aspects of contemporary Australia, that we can see the way in which history has shaped the way we think and the way we feel. And I think that's a really key, almost the most important aspect of the National Museum's role, is to bring the past and the present into a very meaningful dialogue. And in this we have, I think, a great opportunity to have a very cross-generational conversation. Children having a conversation with their grandparents and their parents and families and friends of different generations who all have a view of Australia which is created by their particular experiences. All of these things can be shared. And there is no one in Australia for whom the Melbourne Cup doesn't have some memory or some meaning. And I think today gives us a great opportunity to look at the complexities of that story. One of the mysteries to me, and I've never really gone into this in any great detail, is how the fields for the Melbourne Cup are actually established. I guess I conclude by saying that this is a great lineup today, a great field, the expertise, the experiences, the diverse range of ways in which our speakers have played a part in this extraordinary story promises, I think, to make today's symposium a very rich and rewarding investigation of this subject. Thank you.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.